Welcome back to New Every Day. My name's Carrie.
And my name is Jen. And on today's show, it's part two of Believing at Christmas. And we're going to talk about, rather than saying, really, prove to me, we're going to say, how? How are your promises going to come about? And that's what's on today's show.
This is the story of Operation Christmas Child. To some, it may just be a shoebox, but to millions, it is the start of the greatest journey. Traveling the world, sent with prayer. Shoebox gifts fill the hearts of children from over 100 different countries with hope, faith, and love.
Jen, we had a really great discussion last week, and we just want to welcome you back to New Every Day. Thanks so much for tuning in. Just before we jump into our discussion, thank you so much for those who went on to patreon.com
to donate
to this show. If you go to patreon.com, search category 5, you can click on that link there, and from there you can pledge 25 cents per episode, so $1 a month. And we have thousands and thousands of viewers, which is amazing. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
That's going to just make such a difference for us to be able to keep this show going and for Robbie Ferguson and the Category 5 team to be able to just keep doing the little things, upgrading equipment, editing, all that jazz that goes on that I really don't know how to do, but I'm thankful that someone does it. So if you would pledge, that would be wonderful.
Yes, thank you for pledging.
Yeah. So Jen, last week we talked about believing, what that looks like. We were talking about the Christmas season, and we just want to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas. And everything that's associated with Christmas, Jen, it has to do with believing.
It does.
Right?
We talked last week about your belief in Santa.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
What?
My belief in Santa probably ended much, much earlier than yours because I had an older sibling who said,
oh,
here, let me show you what you're getting from Santa. And it was December 1.
Oh.
So,
oh.
I know. So, yeah, so I probably would have tended to be a little bit more cynical about the whole belief thing.
Yeah.
But as I have, you know, gotten older, and I realize the importance of believing to believe. Like, I know that sounds really funny, but like, I just have to believe, whether I understand it, whether I see proof, whether I've had the experience before, I just have to believe. And I guess I'm switching from Santa to God. I just have to believe, whether I understand everything, whether I've had the experience of a particular promise being experienced or given. I'm learning more and more that I just have to take God's word as truth, whether or not I understand it or get it. Or have even been let down. And we talked about that last week with Zechariah. There's potential that he very well could have been let down in his faith. He continued to serve the Lord. But when the angel appeared to him and said, you know, your wife is going to have a son, he's like, prove it. Is basically, give me a sign. How do I know this is true? And and so this week we want to look at the story of Mary. And I want you who are listening to read along. I'm reading. Do you want to read? You're doing New King James. So she's going to read. Carrie's going to read from New King James. And I want you to listen to the difference between how Abraham responded to the angel and how Mary responds to the angel. So let's read that, starting at verse
26. Yeah. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
Wow.
We see here, initially when I read this, I thought, how is her response in saying to the angel, "How can this be since I do not know a man?" Or your version says what, Jen?
How will this happen since I'm a virgin?
And I thought, okay, how is that different from what Zacharias said to the angel before, when he says,
verse 18,
thank you, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man. My wife is well advanced in years." It seems like they're questioning, and then they're also presenting the angel with the facts.
Yes.
She's like, "How can this be? I'm a virgin." He's like, "How can this be? I'm an old man."
Right.
I'm like, so what's the difference? Why did Zacharias become mute? And
right.
The response from Gabriel was like, "I'm Gabriel. This is going to happen because you did not believe you will be mute." Whereas to Mary, he explains what's going to happen, that the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you.
Yeah.
So why such a different response?
Well, when you look at those questions in verse 18 of chapter 1, "How can I know that what you say is true?" Versus verse 34, "How will this happen since I'm a virgin?"
So she's presupposing that it's going to happen.
Yeah, like, okay.
Like, just explain.
Like, how's this going to happen? Like, put the pieces together for me, is what she's saying.
Yeah.
Like, you walk me through how this is going to happen. Like, okay. Whereas Zachariah is like, "I need proof."
Yeah.
"Prove to me." Like, that's, like, "How will I know that what you say is true?" So he's questioning the truth of Gabriel.
Right, the validity of the message and the messenger.
Yes, like, you prove to me, like, how do I know that what you're saying is true? Prove to me that what you're saying, like, where she's like, how can this happen?
She already believes it's going to happen.
And it's like, I think she believes that he's an angel, and she's not questioning that he's, like, it almost feels like Abraham, like, says, "Prove to me that what
Zacharias.
You're saying is true." Zacharias! maybe I need to go
maybe
back.
We should talk about Abraham.
Yeah, but it's like he's questioning the truth of what he's saying, versus Mary, who is questioning, like, how it's going to happen.
Hmm.
Like, so one is actually questioning, "Are you telling me the truth?" Whereas, so he's questioning, you know, the truth, the validity.
Yeah,
and she's questioning, okay, now tell me how this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm,
so
she's
not questioning who he is as a person, or who that the angel is an angel.
She just wants to know the details.
She just wants to know, she wants to know the details. And it's very interesting because both stories are the same. Gabriel comes, says, you know, gives what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's the response. And then he continues to talk. Like, it's the same. So go ahead.
Oh, okay. The story goes on. And Mary actually goes to visit Elizabeth. Is this where you're going to go, Jen, or did you want to talk about something else first?
You keep going.
Okay. Mary actually goes to visit Elizabeth, And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, so she arrives in the door, that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So baby John jumped for joy when he heard Mary. Then she spoke it with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." This is the verse that really hit home for me, Jen. Verse 45, Luke chapter 1. "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord."
Yeah.
Blessed is she who believed. Elizabeth is saying, you believed God.
Yes.
And here's the result. You're pregnant.
Yeah.
And there is manifestations of God's fulfillment of his promise. You know, in ways that they couldn't even explain. She couldn't make her baby jump for joy.
No. No. In fact, mothers are often like, feel it. Like, it's not like, okay, you down there, start jumping.
Yeah, because someone will be waiting with their hand on the womb, waiting, nothing happening.
Yes. And they're like,
yeah.
Right? And I've had that happen before. Oh. They're like, okay. But yeah, you're waiting, right? So yeah. She could not have manufactured that response.
No. But I just appreciate that. Blessed is she who believed.
Yes.
She's believing. God is fulfilling his promise because he is faithful. She said that she would carry his promise. And for 9 months, she literally carried the promise of God.
Yes.
Jesus is the promise. He's the promised Savior, the promised Messiah from the Old Testament.
Yeah.
So for thousands of years, however many years, from Adam,
yes,
all the way up to Jesus,
yeah,
he's the promise that's spoken of. There's going to be one who's going to come out of Israel from the line of David, who will be born in Bethlehem in Judea. And he will come, and he will bring salvation. He'll be riding on a colt. He will come with peace. He will come with power.
Yes.
All of these promises. And she literally carried the promise of God and could see the promise growing until the fulfillment.
Interesting. She could see the promise growing. And so often, like, we tend to be more like Zechariah, prove it to me.
Right.
Whereas Mary's like, how is this going to happen? Because this is what I see. So it's like, I know what you said. Now, how is this going to happen?
Yeah.
And, you know, practically speaking, in my life, I've had, I was sitting in a conference, and the man was talking about nothing is impossible with God, which is the verse, verse 137. And he said, what are three impossibilities in your life? And I'm like, oh, let me tell you. And I
really?
Oh, yeah. And so everybody sort of, he said, write down three impossibilities in your life. There's things that are impossible. I'm like, okay. And I wrote down all three things. And he's like, now give them to the Lord. And if he doesn't immediately give them back to you, leave them with him.
What do you mean by give them back to you?
Like, just say, no, I've said no to that. Because sometimes we ask the Lord for things and he says no, but we continue to ask. And I've had that experience of wrestling with God and praying for things. And finally he just said, Jennifer, that's enough. My ways are higher than your ways. I've said no. You need to be at peace. And I was like, and at that point, like, I'd literally been wrestling all night. Like, I felt like I was physically wrestling because I so desperately wanted what I was asking the Lord for. And like, about 2 or 3 in the morning, I literally felt like his hand saying, Jennifer, that's enough. I've said no. My ways are higher than your ways. So that's what I mean. If the Lord doesn't say no to you,
just leave it with
him. Leave it with him. And so I'm like, so I wrote down all three things that were impossible. And I left them with the Lord because he didn't say no.
Yeah.
And within a year, all three things happened.
Seriously.
Yes.
Like, specifically, are you able to share what they were?
I never thought my mother would sell the farm ever. My mom grew up on a farm and I lived there, and I never, ever, ever thought she would sell it. And my cousin asked if he could buy the farm, and I'm just like, I can't believe that he's asking. I can't believe she's going to say. And then she's like, I would not want to sell it to anyone other than you. And I went,
so you're like, there's one.
And I'm literally like, and God had already answered a previous on my impossible list regarding my sister, which I thought was just totally impossible, and he totally showed up and did it. And so I'm realizing, okay, now he's 2 for 3 right now. And I remember thinking my little cousin had a hole in her heart as a baby. Mm-hmm. And after my mom had said yes to my cousin buying the farm, I'm like, wait a second, do you remember those 3 impossibles? And I said, so can you tell me about Charlotte and her hole in the heart? And he's like, gone.
No surgery required.
No surgery required. And I was like, okay, let me just, like, I asked God for 3 impossible things. And he totally showed up. And it was just like, sometimes we have to leave our stuff with God.
Yeah.
Okay, God, I've left this with you. I'm going to trust that you're going to work it out in your time until you say no.
Hmm.
Right? But leave it. Leave it with God. Leave it with God. Because, you know, the angel says, you know, with God, all things are possible. Jesus said to the man, as you said last week in Mark 10:9, I believe the references or something like that. I might be off on that. But it says, you know, nothing is impossible with God.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout scriptures, that phrase comes up, nothing is impossible with God. All things are possible with God. And here, you know, so Mary is taking the right approach. Like, I see what's going on.
And I see the constraints. She clearly was not married. She clearly was a virgin.
Clearly.
So the physical constraints in that reality were there in front of her.
Yes.
But she chose to see past that.
Yes.
And to believe God.
Yes.
I was also thinking, you know, as she was carrying the promise, what she must have been experiencing, because as she started to show that the promise was going to be fulfilled and she's getting bigger and bigger, she would have had more persecution.
Mm-hmm.
Because she got pregnant out of wedlock, and that was socially absolutely unacceptable.
Oh yes, she should have been stoned.
So that makes me think that her belief in the promise mm-hmm. of God and his love for her and his faithfulness to cause this child to be delivered helped her to withstand the persecution.
Yes.
What came to mind then was Ephesians chapter 6, when Paul talks about putting on the whole armor of God. Take up the whole, this is chapter 6, verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. We believe that Jesus is the truth.
Yes.
We gird our waist with the truth. The word of God is the truth. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. We're righteous by faith in Christ. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This is the gospel of peace. Mm-hmm. The angels came to the shepherd and said, I bring you good news of great joy.
Yes.
There's going to be peace on earth. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And that shield of faith, our faith is, we're putting our belief in God.
Yes.
And it becomes a shield to us to extinguish the fiery darts of the enemy. That might be persecution in your own home.
Mm.
Maybe it's from your own spouse, your own family. But you can hold on to the promises of God. Look back in your journal. Think on your life of his faithfulness. Look back in the Old Testament on how God preserved the people of Israel for himself. That line of David, he kept it set apart in preparation that Jesus was going to come, the fulfillment of that promise. And now we have this promise, a deposit, the Holy Spirit in us guaranteeing what is to come.
Yes.
That God has set us apart for himself. That we are his own special people now, it says in the book of Peter. His own special people set apart for his good work. And Jesus is coming back, and now we are bearing that promise.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So much. So rich.
Yes.
It's amazing.
And the cool thing is when we stand, you know, it says the shield of faith, which is from God. So it's not like we're only standing on our own belief. We're standing actually on the promises of God. We're standing on who God is and right. His faithfulness to us. So as the man said, like, I believe, but help my unbelief. Mm. We encourage you this week to believe, but ask Jesus to help you in your unbelief. To ask the, I see this is impossible, but Lord, with you all things are possible.
Yeah.
So show me how this is going to work. Or, you know, just walk with me so that I sense your presence every step of the way. But I'm going to trust that even though it seems impossible, that you can make it happen.
Yeah. And God is faithful.
Amen.
We sure hope that you will go onto Facebook and maybe write a little message just saying how you've seen God's faithfulness or how a promise has been fulfilled in your life. If you would share that, it would just be so encouraging. So why don't we pray, Jen?
Sure.
And we'll sign off. Thank you so much, Father, for your wonderful faithfulness. Thank you for your faithfulness to send Jesus. Thank you for the way in which he came as a baby. So humble. Born in a manger. And died on a cross. Thank you for your promises to us. Lord, help us to hold on to your promises. I just pray for our viewers and our listeners who are maybe going through a really hard time right now, who are maybe experiencing some persecution, and I pray that you'd help them to take up that shield of faith, believing that you are God, that you love and you care for them, that you have good things for their life. And I just pray that you would be meeting with them and speaking to them. Thank you for your word and all the wonderful promises in it. We are excited about what you're going to do. And we love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. And we praise you for Christmas. Amen.
All right, well.
Well, thanks for tuning in. We will see you next week.
See you next week.